I'd like for us to be real with each other. Is that okay? So if I offend anybody, it's not my intention, and all complaints can go to anixon@fmhouston.com. So yesterday I was walking down our street with our son William, and I noticed that one side of the street had a string of Valdez, Litton, Beto, Nelson, and Mormon yard signs. And the other side of the street had a string of Abbott, Crenshaw, Cruz, Paxton, and Garcia yard signs. It appeared that our neighborhood was split right down the middle, with Democrats on one side and Republicans on the other. Like our street, our city, state, and country seem to be divided and split right down the middle. And I don't know about you, but I, for one, am tired of the political rhetoric, the partisan politics, and the divisive messaging that's been flooding our neighborhoods, television, and news. What's worse? When we hear about a synagogue shooting, or we hear about bombs being sent to public officials, there's no sign of it getting better. Our community and our nation are divided. Why? Could it be anger, bitterness, and hate? Could it be fear? Could it be fear of change? Over the last month, in the context of biblical characters that were brave enough to overcome their fears and embrace faithfully their circumstances, we have been talking about adaptation. Adaptation is another word for change. Most of us are resistant or afraid of change. But despite our fear, the church has been adapting over time and continues to reach and engage people for Christ around the world. Last Sunday, a church that has adapted and overcome resistance celebrated its 150th anniversary. The First Independent Baptist Church of Corsicana is the oldest African-American congregation in Texas. Despite the resistance it encountered from the residents and city of Corsicana, this church was founded by a group of former and freed slaves 150 years ago. Its congregation overcame prejudice and advanced the cause of Christ by adapting to social conditions. It bravely and courageously fought through voting rights, segregation, civil rights, and racial tensions. And it continues to fight through political divisiveness today with the understanding that change is necessary. And together, we, as the body of Christ, can be a beacon of hope for our society. In effect, over the last 150 years, they have held on bravely and lived Moses' call to be strong and bold. If we are willing to be strong, to be bold, and to adapt, things can change. But change takes courage, willingness, resolve, and time. And sometimes things don't go as planned. If there was ever an example of things not going according to plan, it was the Israelites in the wilderness. Even when all hope seemed lost, and it felt like God had abandoned them in the desert, Moses offered people hope that God would deliver them to the promised land. What does the promised land look like for you? Is it the answer to years of prayer? Is it the achievement of a lifelong dream? Is it the success of a business? Is it a prosperous career? Is it a flourishing ministry? Or is it leaving a lasting legacy of service to others in Christ? Whatever the promised land is for you, are things going according to plan? Are you faithfully holding on to the legacy, success, dream, or prayer? Or are you being challenged? Are you circling the mountain in the wilderness? Are you discouraged? Have you given up on that dream? When Allison and I were told that we could not have children, it was as if that dream was shattered. It was as if my anger, my bitterness, my hatred, my rage just flourished up from within me, and I argued. I argued with God, I argued with the doctors, I argued with Allison. It almost ended our marriage. But friends and several in this sanctuary here today told me to get my head out of my rear and told me to be bold, to be strong, to be courageous, and to know that God did not leave us, that God did not forsake us, that He was right there with us. I finally got my head in the right position, and I focused my heart. And Allison and I resolved to take it to prayer, to be strong and not to let that dream go. 4.5 years later, we have William. What are you doing to find encouragement and hope today? Are you hanging on to that dream in prayer? Are you hanging on to that lifelong aspiration? Or have you let it go because of life's challenges? When you're challenged, where do you find the strength to be bold and brave? I have a coworker. She's become a friend. To say that her life is challenged is to put it mildly. Every now and then she brings her son into the office, and a lot of times he comes dressed as an Avenger. And he's about 6 years old, and when he comes in the office, he runs around like he's a superhero, and he jumps in my lap. And I don't know what our relationship is, but what I do know is that I can see hope in him. What I do know is I can see boldness and courage in her. What I do know is I can see resolve to never give up and to never give in, because 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with autism. And they're making it work. And her faith is flourishing. And because of her flourishing faith, he is doing better and better each time I see him. And one thing I do know when I think about them is that there is the presence of God in their lives. The one thing that is constant in the midst of challenges is the presence of God. This was true for Moses, it was true for the Israelites, and it is true for us. This is why Moses encouraged the Israelites to not fear and to be bold, courageous, and strong when facing a future that was uncertain to them, but not to God. Moses' encouragement to be bold and strong came when he was 120 years old. Can you imagine? He's been leading those people through the wilderness, and we come near the end. He walked and communed with God after he was born a slave, condemned to die, and grew up in the Egyptian court. He led the Israelites out of captivity. He parted the Red Sea. He established the law, a lot of which we still see in our nation today. He turned the sour water sweet. He organized God's people. He smote the rock, allowing living water to flourish, and was leading the people into the promised land. And although they constantly complained and doubted, he gave them hope. But God told him that he was not entering the promised land. And he told Moses to appoint Joshua as his successor. As Moses told the Israelites that his time had come, he encouraged them that theirs had not. He told them to be strong, knowing that God would not fail them or forsake them. And he handed over the mantle of leadership to Joshua, calling him to be courageous and assuring him that God would not leave him. Moses prepared the Israelites for change. He prepared them to adapt. And like the Israelites, when we look to the future, we have a choice. We can adapt. We can faithfully stare down our circumstances. And we can face the future with God or face it without Him. Facing the future with God means that we will not always have the answers. And it will most assuredly be bigger than us. So we must trust Him in times of challenges. Facing it without God means fearing change. It means not adapting and faithfully facing our circumstances. It means going into survival mode. It means isolating and dividing ourselves. It means never breaking new ground. It means never becoming who God wants us to be and not accomplishing what God wants us to do. And it means living for ourselves, not God. The real challenge is to let go of ourselves and boldly hold on to God. It is trusting Him to guide us to adapt and change without giving in to the fear of the unfamiliar. Because it's easier to stand on old familiar ground than stepping out of our comfort zones and stepping into faith. Without change and without stepping out of our comfort zones, we cannot break new barriers and we cannot courageously leave a legacy of Christ for generations to come. We have to be courageous. We have to get out of our mundane everyday activities. We have to sit somewhere else in church. We have to get out of the sanctuary and meet the people where they're at. We have to be relevant. And we have to be bold. You see, courage and boldness spreads like fire. It takes someone to light the match. It takes someone to put a group together to kindle the fire. It takes someone to get people motivated to believe that God is present in our lives and that all things are possible with Him. Even when facing the loss of a dream of a child or staring down the challenges of autism. Can you imagine the intensity of the church if we were willing to accept that all things are possible with God? Adapt to a change in plans and faithfully respond to our circumstances. Could we be the conduit of God's love as people reconcile the heartbreaking examples of 11 lives taken in a hate crime at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh yesterday? Could we be the conduit of God's peace to a world in which bombs are mailed and acts of terror occur with regularity? Could we be the conduit of God's grace to bring together a divided nation? Since all things are possible with God, as the body of Christ, we can be all of this and more. We can be the spark of change that can bring our nation together. We can give people hope, and we can overcome fear by bearing witness to His love. All we have to do is to let go of ourselves and hold on to God. Like the Israelites, we have to hold on to God's promise that He will not leave us or forsake us. We have to hold on to God's plan and boldly face change and the future with Him. And we have to courageously break new ground by holding on to the abundant life that we have been given in Christ. When I think of abundant life in Christ, I think of my Father. Some don't know, some do. He's been fighting cancer for several years now, various types and various stages. And recently, I was speaking with him, and he said, "You know what? I'm just going to let it all go. I'm just going to let go of myself, and I'm going to give it all to Christ. And I'm going to hold on to God's promises." And you know what I saw that day? I saw a resolve and a strength that I have not seen in my father in years. I saw a courageousness that allows him to hold on and hold tightly to the abundant life that he's been given in Christ. And although he was supposed to be here today, he decided to boldly and courageously undertake exploratory surgery on Friday. And you know what happened? I'm happy to report that as of yesterday, that bladder cancer is gone. And that bladder cancer's gone, and he's going to fight, and he's going to win the battle of the rest of his cancer because he is bold and he is courageous. That's the kind of faith that Moses is calling us to have. That's the kind of faith that we need as a church. That's the kind of faith that will allow us to come together, to get out of this sanctuary, to be relevant, to be bold, and to change the world for Christ. And whatever we may be facing, when we hold on to God, we have that strength to lean in on His goodness, to adapt, and to trust Him as He blesses us. And as He blesses us, He uses us. And He'll use us to love, grow, and serve others to Christ for the next 150 years and beyond. So will you join me in holding on to God? Will you trust that He will never leave you nor forsake you? Will you hold on to His promises? Will you trust Christ enough to let go of yourself? Will you boldly and courageously adapt and grow by following Christ's call to reach and engage people all over the world? Together, let's hold on to God. Let's lean into His strength. Let's adapt, and let's boldly advance the cause of Christ. And as we do so, let's be the beacon of hope for our divided community, city, state, and nation. Let's bring Christ and Christ's love back to the conversation so that we can heal this nation. Let's stop sitting on the sidelines and let's become relevant. And the only way we can do that is to adapt and to change, because change is necessary for the advancement of God's kingdom. Pray with me. Father God, thank you for your call to be bold, to be strong, and to be courageous. Lord, thank you for reinforcing that we have no reason to fear, that we have no reason to fear change, but that we have every reason to hold on to you. And Lord, we know that the only way to hold on to you is to let go of ourselves, to trust in your plan, and to know that your will be done. Lord, use each and every one of us. Use us to touch the lives of those that live and work and sit around us. Lord, use us to be the beacon of hope, to be the witness of your love to a world that is so divided and so needs it. Lord, help us to live with expectant faith, knowing that you are with us through every challenge, through every circumstance, and that you bless us, that you use us, and that you will use us to advance the cause of Christ around the world. Lord, as a church, bind us together. Help us to be the body of Christ, to be the hands and feet that you have called us to be. And help us to get out of our comfort zones so that we can break new ground for you, and so that we can start to heal our divided nation. In Jesus' name we pray, as we reach out to hold the hands of those seated beside us and pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.